career progression myth, why there's more opportunity than your technicians realize. Join passionate automotive trainer and coach Andrew Uglow as he dives into the complaint that automotive offers no career progression for technicians. In this episode, you'll learn why the traditional apprentice to manager path isn't the only option, how automotive skills translate to countless other industries, and discover the difference between career progression and personal development. Along the way, you'll hear some great stories, including Andrew's own journey from apprentice to national training manager to business owner, and why the skills learned in automotive repair prepare technicians for almost any challenge life throws at them. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Frictionless Workshop Podcast. Let's get cranking. Andrew, let's talk about this whole idea of career progression. Is there enough career progression for technicians? What does the progression even look like? You know, where is it that they start? Where is it that they want to go to? Is it even the same for everybody? How do you actually encapsulate that whole idea? Because there is a perception, I gather from the feedback you've had, that there isn't enough progression.
This is a mixed basket. And I go back to the expectation of the individuals. What are you actually expecting? Like, where do you want to go? Do you want to become dealer principal of a dealership? Because you could. There is no question. I know of several people who were dealer principals. But you have to develop more skill than just the ability to fix funky cars or talk with unhappy customers. You need to develop financial acumen. You need to develop people skills. You need to develop leadership. And I want to highlight that one. Like, we don't need more managers. We need more leaders. And they're not the same. They're like absolutely different things. One is about managing a system. The other one is about leading people. People don't wake up in the morning and go, gee, I'm so looking forward to being managed today. Or I'm non-compliant, manage me. You know, manage me harder. Manage me harder. No, people don't do that. People go, lead me, help me. You know, I'm struggling with this. And leaders help, leaders serve. And we take a management frame, not a leadership frame. And it has a suboptimal outcomes in their business. And so back to the idea of career progression, or where do you want to go? Do you want to be a leader? Because that would be more useful. And so if that's the case, if really as a tech, if that's what you want to be, you know, known, recognized, appreciated, you know, stopped in the street and asked for your autograph, if that's your thing, well, sure, by all means, develop your technical skill, because the foundations for that are going to stand you in good stead for everything else you do, in or out of the industry. Conversely, let's not just stop there. Let's start with helping you lead you. Like, you want to progress, right? Let's get you leading you well. Once you're leading you well, now we can give you unofficial responsibility. You can be the team leader. You can be the workshop supervisor. You can be the whatever sub thing that is in the workshop that we can give you that gives you more responsibility to demonstrate your leadership. And now we have a gap. Well, maybe you work this part of the workshop and someone works that part of the workshop. Right now, why don't you start doing leadership with customers? Why don't you start doing leadership financially? Why don't you start doing leadership? So I'm going to argue that there is and there isn't. And it depends upon what do you want? Like, when you say there's no progression, what's that really about? Because if we just deal with that as, you know, I started as an apprentice and then I become a tech and then I become a senior tech and then I become a foreman and then I become a service manager and then I become a fixed operations manager and then I become a general manager. Is that the progression you're looking for? Like, automotive is not corporate. You know, I don't become a sub-semi-prime candidate for partial leadership. Like, there's so many levels and sub-levels in corporate. Well, this isn't that. This is about solving. You want to know what a workshop's about? A workshop is about encouraging customers to invest in positive, reliable ownership experiences of their vehicle in this business with the skill that this workshop has. That's what a workshop does. Customers don't come because they've got great workshop management. Customers don't come because they've got outstanding profitability. Customers come to get stuff fixed on their car because it is or isn't doing something. Or they just can't afford to have the car go bad on them because it's too much stress. And so they just want that stressor out of their life. And so our job as technicians is to do that, is to provide that skill so the customer can jump in their car, drive it, come back 12 months later, and they haven't had any problems, that they love their car, that it's a great vehicle for them. This is what we're selling. And so you go, well, there's no career progression. Okay, sure. where do you want to go? And the flip side of this is, okay, so you want to go wherever that is. If you don't have the skills required to be a good tech, there is no way that you can progress. It just isn't, because the skills that put you in good standing for anything else you do, and I say this out of personal experience, what I've learned as a technician, how to think for myself, how to manage myself, how to deal with stress, how to handle angry customers, like all of these skills I learned in a workshop, and I learned them at the cliff face. Yeah, sure, I went back to school and I studied at Swinburne. I did some really useful stuff. I then went and did a whole bunch of other stuff that fits outside of the conventional thinking, because the conventional thinking I found was lagging. But because of what I learned and how, not what I learned to think, how I learned to think, put just that was the foundation that allowed me to progress. So I love having this conversation with techs. Oh, there's no progression? Great. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And how committed are you to that?
And it's a conversation that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's coming from the negative. There's no career progression. Whereas the conversation could easily come from, hey, I really want to get to here at one point. Is there any way the company can help me get there? I've thought about doing this course or that course, or, you know, doing some extra hours and sitting in here to see what other people are doing. It's the way that conversation is held can be everything as well.
Absolutely. And with all due respect, I know of several managers who are really good at that. The tech is, they feel like they've plateaued with their technical skill. I don't know what I want to do next. No problems. Would you consider working with customers? Well, okay, well, let's train you on that. Aha, right. And I don't know if you missed that or not. Let's train you on that and then we'll promote you. Let's give you some skill and then let's try that out and see how that works. Whereas usually they just go, oh, here you go. Go and work with customers. I tell you what, there's a world of difference between customers who answer back, who have emotional days, who illogical, irrational, and unreasonable, versus cars that aren't. Sure, cars do weird things, but they don't have bad days. They don't turn up late. They don't abuse you because who knows why? Global warming. I don't know what it was. You know, the customers just do some of the worst things. And not all customers. Most of them are really good, but some of them have, or maybe some of them could go to someone else's business and upset their staff rather than coming to my business and upsetting my staff.
The Frictionless Workshop podcast is brought to you by Solutions Culture. For details on how to get in touch with Andrew, consult the show notes below and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now back to the podcast. Some of them have Googled the problem and are insistent on what the problem is when it may not be the case at all.
Look, and it is really challenging. And again, there's two sides to this argument. Automotive industry in the past at times has been profoundly dishonest. Like not just a little bit naughty, not just a bit grey around the edges, but like absolutely dyed black in the wool dishonest. Like shifty, dodgy, shonky, nasty, manipulative, scheming dishonest. And I've seen this, I've worked with this, I've spoken to customers. It's funny the feedback I get from customers. Hey, you know, oh, what do you do for a living, Andrew? Oh, I help technicians conquer automotive technology. Oh, really? So you're teaching them how to work? Yes. Oh, I had this car and this problem and they did this to me. And that, it's always comes out. And I love it. Give me feedback. Let me know how we're going. I think it's fantastic. And so we have, as an industry, as individual businesses, we have opportunity to improve. Customers pay us money. They don't make us money. They pay us money. And so we need to look after them. That's only fair and reasonable. We need to give genuine value for what we do. Conversely, though, customers could be, what's the word I'm looking for? A bit more open at times, you know, and the reason they Google and go to forums and chats and stuff is that they're trying to find information, because information is power, knowledge is power. You know, they've been handled in the past and they don't want to get handled again. And sure, you know, maybe they're trying to solve a problem, but at the same time, be open, particularly at a dealership level and even independent workshop level. We have access to information that you don't. We understand cars at a level that you just simply don't. So help us help you, you know, help us work with you. Like, we want you, and this is the good business, we want you to have the most pleasurable ownership experience in your car as you possibly can. We don't want you to have a second thought about the reliability of your car. And so in order to do that, we need you to invest in the skill in this workshop on your vehicle. And this is how we believe it should happen. And take that on board. You know, sure, it's about the money. Don't get me wrong. We're not a charity. We're not a sheltered workshop, although you could argue that for some places. It's a business. We're here to money. But at the same time, we're here to give genuine value. We're here to delight customers.
Yeah, I mean, and we talk about this idea of career progression, which backs on to the previous episode where we were discussing the whole idea of recognition. And I think there's a bit of a gap there, isn't there? Because this interaction with the client doesn't happen as much between the technician and the client. They don't necessarily know what's going on. So there's not necessarily an opportunity for recognition to follow through, and therefore the opportunity for that to be recognized as being there, something that they've done, and therefore get some career progression as a result of it. And I had this personally just recently where I had my car and I was on a longish journey and the warning light came on.
Yeah.
And an engine warning light. And I'm like, I don't know. And I was on the freeway and I managed to get to the destination, even though I was losing some speed at times, get to where I was going, pull out the manual as you do. What does this actually mean?
There's the question.
It said, and so the interesting thing was it said, it might be that you haven't tightened your fuel cap. That can get rid of the problem. And well, that's an easy fix. I can get out of the car and I can do that. Did that? No, that didn't do it. And when you eventually was in touch with the dealership and said, what's going on? Oh yeah, you shouldn't drive it much. Bring it in. We'll look at the problem. The short version of the story is I went to the dealership, couldn't get in there for 2 weeks, got in, even though I still had to make some other trips with this engine warning light coming off and on, get in there. And I waited in the dealership from 8 o'clock in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon when they said to me, oh, I'm really sorry, sir. We didn't get a chance to have a look at your car. Can you bring it back in a few more days? But what's really interesting, and here comes the good bit. I bring it into the dealership the next time and I didn't have to wait too long to find out that when they did eventually look at it, all it needed was new spark plugs.
Right.
It was a very quick fix.
Well, that was good.
Right. Which was great, right? And it was great that it was done that way. But the interesting thing for me is I'm left with the sour taste because it took so long to get to that point. But on the other hand, I want to actually recognize the technician that went in there straight away and fixed the problem in no time at all. So whilst I'm negative about the fact that the whole management process took too long, but the actual recognition that could have happened for that technician to say, you identified that problem really quickly. You fixed the problem. I would love to give you some recognition for that. And that opportunity actually wasn't available to me as the client to be able to do that.
Yeah, they do send a feedback form, but technicians don't always see that. And going back to the idea of progression in a business, and particularly in automotive, well, let's put on our comparison hat and go, well, how much progression is there for plumbers? You want career progression as a plumber? What's that look like? You want career progression as a chippy? What does that look like? You know, you want career progression as a HVAC technician? What does that look like? I go back to the idea of what are you actually looking for? And with progression, I think often, certainly being my experience, that they confuse the idea of recognition with progression, and they confuse progression with development. And really what we're looking for, what they're saying, and again, test by asking, well, you're looking for progression. Do you want more responsibility or do you want more development? Do you want to be better at what you do? Do you want more skill? Do you want broader skill? Like, what are these things? And not always, but often, and it does depend upon the person, but very often I find talking to techs, they go, actually, no, it's the development. And we can talk about that in the next episode. And again, this is another area that I think automotive has opportunity to improve. The idea of training versus developing. What are we doing? Yeah, because developing is about planting people, growing people, as opposed to training, which is about producing a financial outcome, speed and efficiency.
Yeah, I think it's really just to wrap that whole idea up of career progression in there. It's getting to the source of what it actually means. I think there's as you talked about, that whole idea of, again, someone in another trade, plumber is a good example, is the goal I want to run my own plumbing business and I want to have a team of plumbers. That's career progression, but that's a different thing, setting up a business and doing that. And, sure. And if you're a technician and that's what you're looking to do, that's a different idea. But sometimes it is also recognizing that, as you say, career progression is just about more information, more knowledge, the ability to be better at what you do rather than necessarily shifting jobs.
Yep, absolutely.
That concludes our look at career progression opportunities in automotive, but here's where things get really interesting. Next episode, we're diving into the communication crisis that's costing dealerships over $1 million a year in staff turnover. Andrew exposes the hidden cost of promoting technicians without leadership training and reveals why your best technical minds often make terrible people managers. We'll share shocking data from KPMG's research and practical solutions for developing real leadership in your workshop. The workshop communication crisis drops shortly, so make sure you're subscribed now so you never miss an episode. This is the Frictionless Workshop podcast produced by podcastdoneforyou.online. All details in the show notes.